Hey there, Front Row fans. This is Lou. Just wanted to give you a quick editor's note at the top of the podcast. What you're about to hear is our greatest sports movie bracket battle podcast. Now, we recorded this live over YouTube a couple of months ago. Because we recorded it live and because there's five different people chiming in, there might be a couple of audio issues that maybe aren't as clean as you would hear on our typical podcast. We don't have the affordability to stop and start when you have five people and you're recording live and you want people to tune into your live stream. So this is almost a raw audio, if you will. So you might hear a little bit of interference at times or what sounds like somebody else kind of talking in the background. We didn't have people listening in as far as I know, but there is a little bit of a bleed and a couple of things where it doesn't sound as maybe as clean as I would prefer it, but I still think the podcast is a lot of fun to listen to. I don't think you have a hard time hearing anybody, but if you do hear some stuff, I did want you to know that we're aware of it, and we're actually moving forward with some new software that's going to make these live podcasts go even smoother and have the audio that hopefully you've come to expect from the Front Row. So I just wanted to tell you that right up front, and so you can sit back and enjoy our presentation of the greatest sports movie bracket podcast. Well, hello out there in podcast land, and welcome back to the Front Row Network of Podcasts, the podcast for people who actually like movies. And welcome to our biannual tradition of doing a movie bracket battle, and we have picked a really fun topic for you. In case you are new to the podcast, and you're just discovering us for the first time, either through Spotify or through NPR Illinois, what we do a couple of times a year is we throw up a big bracket of a bunch of different movies with a common theme, and then we vote on them on our Facebook page, and then we do a podcast where we sit here and drink beer and argue about it. So tonight's argument is going to be about the greatest sports movie of all time. So what we did was we started with 64 films in various regions. We had a baseball and golf region. We had a miscellaneous region, which covers everything that didn't make the other ones. So then we also had basketball, boxing, ice sports, and finally football. So we started with 64. We put these matchups on our Facebook page, and our audience voted for the opening round. And now we're here tonight to break down the round of 32 all the way to the finals. So let's get started. Let's not waste any time. We're going to get to our panel. First of all, our control center that will have you updating the brackets all along the way, the editor-in-chief of the Front Row Network, Mr. Jeremy Gickner. How's it going, Jeremy?
What is up? I cannot wait to disagree and ultimately destroy this incredible panel here. So get ready, people.
All right, and a returnee to the Bracket Podcast who was just on for our summer blockbuster podcast, welcome back, Aaron McCabe. How's it going, Aaron?
So happy to be here, but Lou, I got a little beef with you. I cannot believe that Bloodsport or Kickboxer did not make it onto the greatest sports movies bracket.
For real, though.
Well,
you know how I feel about JCVD.
I know. Well, underground sports, I think, is a real nebulous region.
That's true.
You know, because technically people aren't supposed to know about Bloodsport.
That's a good point.
Kumite is supposed to stay underground.
That's true.
You just movie logic'd it, man.
That's right.
Come on. Oh, God, what a buzz.
You put me in my place, yeah.
All right. Well, and joining us on the panel of making their bracket debuts, a couple of familiar voices if you've listened to the Guilty Pleasure feed. First of all, a gentleman we haven't had back on the podcast in a while, but I'm glad to get him back on, especially for this one, Mr. Tim Tierney. How's it going, Tim?
I'm doing well, Lou. It's great to be a part of this. A pleasure to be back.
Glad to have you back. And rounding out the panel, who was on Guilty Pleasures just a couple months ago for another sports movie, The Replacements. I guess you're becoming one of my go-to sports guys. Please welcome Dr. John Bowser. How's it going?
Good. Hey, Lou. Hey, everybody. Yeah, I've been preparing for this moment literally my entire life. Or since 10 minutes ago when Lou texted me about this. You know, talk about sports movies is great because I have kids now, but the sports movie genre has been the one that I've actually been able to keep up on. So I'm ready to go.
Good. Well, yes. I'm glad. Yes. Yes. John is our pinch hitter here. We had a last minute substitution. Someone pulled up on the DL at the last minute. I know sports. I don't know sports, but I know sports movies. Give me a break. All right. So let's just dive right in. So to determine what movies did get on, we considered a couple of things, and there'll be some of the things we'll be talking about tonight. One is cultural impact when they were first released, cultural impact since, and then how much of a sports movie is it? How much does it represent or portray the sport? How much does it make you think or love the sport or get you excited about it? And just kind of whatever your heart desires. So let's start with our baseball region. Jeremy, you got those brackets for us?
All right, folks. So here we go in the baseball bracket. We had the first round matchup here, Bull Durham versus the rookie Bull Durham, victorious there. Moneyball up against our good friend Thomas Ian Nicholas's rookie of the year, triumphant there. Major League taking out those kids of the Bad News Bears quite handedly. A league of their own taking Robert Redford to the woodshed, beating him hard, getting to the next round. The Sandlot versus Angels in the outfield, one of the most contentious battles of the first round, but the Sandlot ultimately gets out there. Field of Dreams over the critically acclaimed eight-man out. Happy Gilmore over Tin Cup. Oh, God, that one hurts. But it moves on. And rounding it all out here, Caddyshack over the legend of Bagger Vance.
All right. So let's start right off the bat. Let's get to our first matchup. Bull Durham, the number one seed against the number nine seed, Rookie of the Year. Aaron, I'm going to open up to you. What's the first vote?
Oh, man, no pressure. I went Bull Durham. I love Rookie of the Year. I've got no issue with it. That obviously, that movie really speaks to tween me in the 90s. But looking back, I don't know. Bull Durham is just – it's a kind of a classic baseball movie. You know what I mean? Like following the minor leagues around. And Kevin Costner is really good in it. And so, I mean, so is Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins. But that was a hard vote. I'm going to go with Bull Durham.
All right, Bull Durham. John, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bull Durham too. I mean, it's a great baseball movie, but it also kind of has difficulty deciding if it wants to be a baseball movie or a romance movie. Still, it holds on to the baseball long enough. And beating out Rookie of the Year never should have been there, by the way. Moneyball, far and away a better movie.
I'm with you, John.
I would have voted for Moneyball.
Wow.
Over Bull Durham, actually. But anyway, so that aside, Bull Durham.
Tim, what say you?
I'm with John. I love Rookie of the Year. It's such a, especially being a Cubs fan from Chicago, like Rookie of the Year is such a horror movie for me. But I enjoyed Moneyball more as a movie. And also baseball is a sport I played for many, many years. So seeing Thomas Ian Nicholas, the way he went into the stretch as a pitcher drove me insane.
I'm with you. I'm with you, man.
Incredibly wrong, but then again, it was a kid, and the phrase "funky butt loving" being in it, like you can't
cultural impact people.
Yeah, but you have to go Bull just because the accuracy of baseball in it, and it just being an overall better movie as opposed to being just purely hokey entertainment.
All right, well, Jeremy, your vote doesn't count, neither does mine. So, you got anything to say before we move on?
I will just say I would also vote for Bull Durham, and I will save any other analysis for the next round because it's going to have a tough matchup. I feel.
Yep. Oh yeah, it's going to have a tough matchup because this next matchup is I maybe think one of the toughest of this round of 32.
Yeah.
These four versus five seeds, they are brutal. But here we go. The number four seed, A League of Their Own, versus the number five seed, Major League. I'm going to take the pressure off of you, Aaron. And Jeremy, since you didn't get to vote last time, you'll get to vote. You can vote first this time.
This is literally the hardest choice in the bracket for me because I lost count of how many times I watched Major League in my life. I could probably quote that movie front to back. I'm pretty sure if I got the chance to buy a Jobu figure, I would do it. I wouldn't care what the price tag is. But A League of Their Own is just so damn good as a movie. I mean, it made our 90s bracket, you know, like just as a movie itself. And obviously the message only gets more and more important as years go by. It's a movie that's actually aged very well, I think. I'm gonna vote with my heart here, though. I just every moment of Major League is enjoyable to me. I absolutely love that movie. There's so many quotable lines. I mean, ripping the batting dummy's head off Rick Vaughn when he's in spring training. I mean, I will always remember some of those scenes. So I'm voting Major League to start us out.
And already we're starting to see the impact of our substitution, because there's no way you're voting against A League of Their Own of Sarah City next to you right now.
Nope, that is she is going to kill me.
So, all right, Tim, how about you?
I'm right there with Jeremy as far as I love both of these movies, but going with my heart, just Tom Hanks's performance. You just can't. Man.
I know. This one's brutal. This is brutal.
So brutal. It's so brutal. And I mean, just by a hair. And I think it's because my love of Tom Hanks and his performance in this movie, I just have to go League of Their Own.
All right. Aaron, how about you?
I'm feeling everyone's feels on this. Yeah, the 4 and 5 seeds are super rough. Both great movies. I think both have aged well. I have found through this bracket that I am apparently very biased towards period pieces and biopics. And also we talked in the last podcast about how, you know, it's hard to like ever go against Tom Hanks because he's so awesome. But I feel like for me growing up, this was one of the first, like, I would say kind of like girl power movies. You know what I mean? You have a super strong female cast. And I agree, it ages well. So for me, I went League of Their Own.
All right. That's two. It's 2-1. John, what do you say?
Major League is a great movie. Yeah, it ages well. It's hilarious. If it's on, I'm watching it. But as far as a sports movie, I think A League of Their Own wins out. It's the cast top to bottom is excellent. And for me, part of what I love so much about it is it opened up a piece of sports history I knew nothing about.
That's true.
Even living here in the Midwest where this is set, I knew nothing about it. Right. And that's, for me, that's where why I'm going to put A League of Their Own.
All right. Well, second match in a row, my vote doesn't count. So I'm being useful tonight. But yeah, I don't think you could go wrong picking either one of these. I think both of these are great. I know Major League is particularly beloved by a lot of Major League ball players. So there's some authenticity there and it's hilarious. But for all the reasons you guys said, I got no issues with A League of Their Own moving on. All right. So let's move on to another matchup. Again, a couple of this kind of a wistful pairing, I think we have here in the number 3 seed, Field of Dreams, versus the number 6 seed, The Sandlot. All right, let's open it up. And John, let's have you kick it off this time.
So I live in Wisconsin, and the Brewers did a parody of The Sandlot last year in preseason.
Which was fantastic.
It was great. And, you know, good work on their part. But Field of Dreams, you know, Dad, you want to have a catch? That will never get by me without, you know, getting the feels. So, Field of Dreams.
All right. Let's keep it in Wisconsin. Tim, what do you get?
Let's keep it in Wisconsin, even though I'm the Chicago guy who's a transplant in Wisconsin. So
I like how you need to
qualify
to couch that. Thank you.
Fib living in Wisconsin. Very similar to what John was saying. These movies, I'm absolutely just knockdown, drag out fan of. Both movies extremely quotable. But Field of Dreams tugs at your heartstrings more. That line is such a cultural, it crosses so many different boundaries, whatever you want to say, as far as that line, or people don't even like sports, we still know that line. I still give Field of Dreams that advantage because of just the cultural influence it had.
All right. Well, I'm going to go next so my vote can actually feel you like can
count. Got to get in the minutes, man.
What I like about both of these movies is that both of these movies are about a sport, but they're not really about a game. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of these sports movies set up the big game, and neither one of these really do. But they're more about just what they love about them. Sandlot, mm-hmm. the fun of playing ball as a little kid. Field of Dreams, kind of connecting with your heroes. And, of course, the bond that people can form over sports. So I love them in both that regards. But, yeah, Field of Dreams to me is just a beautiful movie. I like both of them a lot. But James Earl Jones's monologue about baseball would be enough.
Yes.
To get it at least to the Sweet 16 and maybe more. We'll see it. So I'm going to close it out. But before we move on, Jeremy or Aaron, you got anything you want to say about this matchup before we get to the next one?
I would have voted for it. I'll save it for the next round.
I was going to vote Field of Dreams as well. Okay. So.
All right. Yeah. So that's a sweep. All right. So joining us to wrap up this region is the kind of the finals of our golf movies, because we didn't quite have 16 baseball movies. We didn't quite have 8 golf movies. So we combined them. So joining this last little section is Caddyshack versus Happy Gilmore, the number 2 seed of this region. Caddyshack versus the number 7 seed. Aaron, let's start with you. Caddyshack versus Happy Gilmore.
I love Happy Gilmore. It's one of my favorite Adam Sandler movies. I think Happy Gilmore, it's super 90s. Well, Caddyshack it's super 90s. Caddyshack is super 70s, but here's what I'll say. I was a caddy for 10 years. So I started caddying in the 90s and you know, was then introduced to the movie Caddyshack. And watching it was so incredibly accurate to what the experience was as a caddy. Like, everyone had a weird nickname. People were doing dumb things. There were such ridiculous members. Bill Murray hit the nail on the head with that as far as what it's like to work at a country club. Like, I was a valet. I carried bags. I did some other things. Like, everyone had different jobs. So the accuracy of it and now the nostalgia is so heavily tied to that film that's one that I can watch whenever and wherever. And if I've got to pick a golf movie because of that, I'm going to go Caddyshack.
All right, Jeremy, what say you?
Yeah, you hit it pretty good there. You know, I always wonder, like, what level of like SNL character was like involved in Caddyshack, because the movie doesn't really have a plot per se. I mean, it's a bunch of vignettes. I mean, it's very much like a Blues Brothers with golf type thing, but you guys will find this out about me if you don't yet, but I do not like Adam Sandler. I never have. I find some merriment in Happy Gilmore, I guess. Chris McDonald is an all-star in that movie. And as I told Lube, I do view Bob Barker as a physical threat now, which I guess I should have the whole time. But yeah, I mean, for me, this one's Caddyshack. It's just too quotable. It's too memorable in every way.
All right, Tim, how about you?
I can't expand much on what Jeremy just said, like as far as cultural and quotable. And Caddyshack, he just can't go wrong. Not to say Happy Gilmore is a terrible film by any means, but when put up against Caddyshack, there's just no you can't compare the two. I think it's Caddyshack all the way.
All right, John, how about you?
Yeah, Caddyshack. There's not really much to add. It's aged very well. It is what it is. It's a great movie. Caddyshack.
All right. Well, that's a clean sweep for Caddyshack. I go the same way. I as much as I love Happy Gilmore, and I think Shooter McGavin's one of the best villains in any sports movie. Caddyshack.
In any movie, Lou.
Yes, period. we'll talk more about Caddyshack in the next round. But all right, that's going to get us over to our miscellaneous section.
Which Bloodsport is not in.
No, there's no Bloodsport.
So do you want to do miscellaneous first or basketball and miscellaneous all together?
You got them all up there, just throw it up.
So here we go with the first matchup here from the basketball side. It was Hoosiers versus Hoop Dreams. Very good, tough matchup there, but Hoosiers ultimately comes out on top. Spike Lee's He Got Game up against Blue Chips, and Blue Chips pulls that one out. White Men Can't Jump against Above the Rim, and Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson are moving on. Almost said Woody Allen, guys. That would have been a movie I would have loved to have seen.
White Men Really Can't Jump.
White Man Gets Anxiety About Thought of Jumping.
White Men Do a lot of awful things in that movie.
And closing out, basketball, Space Jam versus Air Bud. Deceptively more tough than you would think, according to some people. Space Jam comes on with that one. In the miscellaneous category here, The Karate Kid goes up and takes out The Wrestler. Dodgeball took out Kingpin. Days of Thunder loses to Ricky Bobby and Talladega Nights. And Seabiscuit outruns those Chariots of Fire. Lou, back to you.
All right. Well, let's go in order there what we got on the bracket. Let's start at the top with our basketball first. And let's do all four of these movies, by the way, just breezed by their competition in the first round. So I'm thinking we can mix it up a little bit here. Hoosiers versus Blue Chips, high school basketball versus college basketball. John, what do you got?
Hoosiers. It's just a great movie. I mean, it's, you know, even if you don't understand Indiana basketball and why people are so obsessed with it, it's just a fantastic movie all around.
All right, Tim, how about you?
I'm not sure I can pick a movie that has Shaquille O'Neal in it. Not to say there's anything wrong with Shazam, but I mean, Blue Chips isn't like, you know, we're not talking about Shazam quality, but Hoosiers, far and away.
All right. Well, I can vote for a movie with Shaquille O'Neal, and I'm going to.
Oh, man.
Because I got to tell you, don't go back and watch Blue Chips. Don't sleep on that, because I think Blue Chips, it's got some good basketball sequences, and I think it's also a really interesting look into the, you know, college recruiting, which I think
very
is prescient. Still, yeah, it's got a lot of issues, and it's got a great Nick Nolte freak out monologue at the end.
Yeah.
Which, Nick Nolte movie doesn't have that.
Well, correct. But this is maybe one of his better ones too. So I'm going to go with Blue Chips. Aaron, what say you?
I'm going to go with Blue Chips. It was just, both are great movies, but when it came down to it, I just preferred Blue Chips. Maybe I'm a Shaq lover too. Who knows?
Who isn't? What's all the Shaq hate for?
He's doing Carnival Cruise commercials now.
Oh, fantastic.
The General.
Glad to see his artistic integrity hasn't changed in 25 years.
He's the shaking meme.
Right. Well, we got our first tie of the night. Hoosiers versus Blue Chips. It's up to you, Jeremy. Who's it going to be? Who's advancing to the Sweet 16?
Thanks for saving that for me. You know, God, you almost got me there with the Nick Nolte freak out. And he faces off against Bob Knight. I mean, like, you know, if Chris Mullen would have just really gotten a better performance in Blue Chips, I think I could have gotten there, you know, but his acting is, you know, it's just a par below, you know, he'll never play Hamlet. So, now come on, man, it's Hoosiers. It's literally every sports story that you want. All right. It's my St. Louis Blues' story this year. All right. Worst to first. All right. That is how you go.
All right. Well, it was a tough one, but Hoosiers maintains and it moves to the Sweet 16. It's going to take on the winner of the 2 seed versus the 3 seed.
Oh, man.
A battle of 90s nostalgia here.
I am so into this matchup. I need to know what you guys do with this.
Space Jam versus White Men Can't Jump. I haven't kicked it off yet, so I'm going to kick this one off. If you don't vote for White Men Can't Jump, your mother's an astronaut. And, which is appropriate because it's going against Space Jam.
Oh, but man. No, I see what you did there.
White Man Can't Jump has some of the best basketball, film basketball of all time. It's funny. It treats the sport well. It's got everything. I mean, and you want to talk, real basketball players maybe not being camera ready. There's a whole lineup of them in Space Jam.
Oh man.
So I get it. It's fun. Don't
Muggsy
get me wrong.
Bogues bared his soul in that movie, sir.
So I'm going with White Men Can't Jump over Space Jam. Aaron, how about you?
I'm also going White Men Can't Jump. I love the dynamic between Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes. Rosie Perez is fantastic in it. And I think it's actually an interesting, instead of focusing on like the indoor court aspect, it focuses on, you know, just people going and playing knockaround games. And I think it holds up better, clearly.
All right. John, how about you?
Yeah, it's White Men Can't Jump. I mean, back to the idea of what's a better sports movie. Yeah. White Men Can't Jump is a better basketball movie. Space, and it's not like Space Jam even like was trying to be authentic. It, the whole premise of the movie, it's a cartoon, and, you know. So it's not. Space Jam did what it intended to do, but as far as being a better sports movie, it's White Men Can't Jump.
Well, that's gonna do it, Tim. Jeremy, your votes don't count. But you got anything you want to say before we move on?
No, just like what John said. Like, you stick Bugs Bunny and Michael Jordan, like two huge pop culture people, obviously together in a movie. Like, it's great. It puts people in the seats, makes money, blah blah blah. But like, White Man Can't Jump. You can't go wrong with that as far as being a movie. More realistic actual basketball movies concerned. So,
do you feel like we're all kind of defending like that we didn't pick Space Jam? Because I feel like we're all kind of like, sorry, Space Jam.
there are going to be there's some millennials out there who are going to be pissed at this. There's, yeah. I think there's an age shift just a little. Like if you're just a couple years younger than most of us are, I think Space Jam, I think, holds a big place in some people's hearts.
You're not wrong.
All right. So let's get us to the miscellaneous category here. So movies that really have nothing in common. They're not about the same.
These matchups are bananas, man.
So, but it's foreshadowing what we're going to get when we get into the Elite Eight and Final Four. So here we have the number one seed, The Karate Kid, versus the number four seed, Dodgeball. All right, Tim, let's start with you.
I don't think Dodgeball should have even advanced, so I'm just going Karate Kid hands down at all. That's an easy for me.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. Like Kingpin's a forgotten classic. If you haven't seen Kingpin, you need to go back and watch that movie because that movie holds up. It's hilarious. I think it's probably a better sports movie than Dodgeball is. But but Dodgeball advanced, but it's not advancing any further because I'm voting for Karate Kid. We'll talk more about that in the next round. John, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, watching getting somebody, you know, get hit in the nuts with a dodgeball is something that will stand the test of time. But The Karate Kid, yes, is a better sport of it.
All right, Aaron, how about you?
Karate Kid, I feel like Dodgeball, while amusing at the time, was more or less just another Vince Vaughn movie, doing Vince Vaughn, but with dodgeballs.
Fair enough. Right. Lance Armstrong cameo, yay.
Which has aged perfectly.
Oh.
Who would have thought that out of Lance Armstrong and Chuck Norris, Lance Armstrong would be the more problematic of the two? All right, so Jeremy, you going to complete the sweep there?
Yes, I will with The Karate Kid. Although I will just throw a quick shout out to my man Hank Azaria as young Patches O'Houlihan for teaching me the 5 D's of dodgeball. That's all.
All right. And rounding this out,
is this matchup, Lou?
Oh, boy. Well, they are racing movies. They're just a different kind. We've got Seabiscuit versus Talladega Nights. And the panel is broken. No one is.
Okay.
All right. Aaron, what do you got?
I didn't even know what to do with it. So I went Talladega Nights because I didn't know what else to do.
No, you know what? I'm going to jump in on this too. I'm going to jump in on this too, because you know what? As much as people tell me I should like Seabiscuit, and as much as it's a good, like, you know, I can see why it's critically acclaimed, mm-hmm. I've never really connected with that movie at all. You know, and it's weird, but I can't pick Talladega Nights, a sports movie bracket. I guess the horse.
An enthusiastic vote for Seabiscuit. Tim, how about you?
Not only do I think Seabiscuit's going to be in his position, it's not even the best horse racing move in this. I would put Secretariat, National Velvet, I would put those ahead of this. But I guess I would put Talladega Nights here. But if Talladega Nights advances beyond this, I will hang up the goddamn phone.
All right, that's two for Talladega Nights. What do you say, John?
Okay, so since this is about personal opinion, I saw Seabiscuit in the theater for work when I was doing ad sales. My first job out of college was selling advertising. And obviously it didn't do the trick for me because I had been circling the drain on that job and I was out in like 5 months after that. So as far as its inspiration, didn't do the trick for me. Talladega Nights, I still remember it. So I'm going to go with Talladega Nights for reasons that have very little to do with the actual movie.
But are just as valid at this point.
Yep. Oh, man.
But everybody remembers Talladega Nights. People can't even remember in a year. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. People can't remember all of the Triple Crown races. Like, they don't even know which races are in the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
You know, and that's literally three races. So, like, should we all really feel that bad about Talladega Nights over Seabiscuit? Because it's a lot of should. We should want that one to win.
No, but, you're absolutely right.
Man, I'm with you. Just, nah.
I'll say this. If I'm going to, you know, to try to polish this turd a bit, I'll say Talladega Nights does a good job of parodying the NASCAR culture.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
and it came around at a time where you know, good old boys and America and all that kind of stuff was very in vogue. And this movie does like skewer it very well in the context of a sports movie. So I'm gonna, for that reason alone, it's gonna get my vote over Seabiscuit. Let's get the hell away from that for now. Let's move over to our boxing and our ice sports. Jeremy, what do we got?
Yes. This is actually, I think, a really, really good bracket here. All right. So in the first round, the number one seed, Rocky here, took out The Fighter. And then in the Battle of the Rockies, Rocky IV takes out Rocky III because, you know, communism sucks, I guess. Creed takes out Million Dollar. Yeah, I guess.
I guess.
I'll do my Bernie Sanders impression later, guys. Creed versus Million Dollar Baby. Creed wearing victorious. Raging Bull over Ali. Getting into the ice sports, the Mighty Ducks took out Paul Newman and Slapshot. Miracle over Mystery Alaska. That was a tough matchup for me personally. Blades of Glory losing to the Cutting Edge, so all of us can rejoice in that one, I guess. And Cool Running takes out I, Tonya to get to the second round. Back to you, Lou.
All right, so let's get it going here. I got to say, everyone, my love of the Rocky films is well documented. That said, I'm really surprised Rocky IV advances over Rocky III. Rocky IV is barely a sports movie. It is like
If I could change, and you could change.
It is a sport in as much as the way like a boxing video game is an actual sport. Because this is just like, it's a glorified action movie. And so Rocky III actually, I thought, addressed boxing a little bit better as a sports movie.
Like at all?
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love Rocky IV, but for all of those reasons, I'm going with the OG. I'm going Rocky over Rocky IV for this round. John, how about you?
Yeah, so as far as a better movie, Lou and I, you and I have talked about this for the past 20 years. Rocky IV is 30 minutes of montages, 30 minutes of flashbacks, 15 minutes of dialogue.
At least three music videos in there too.
Yeah, right. So there's not a whole lot of movie to that movie. And Rocky, it's just a great movie. I mean, I could watch it over and over again. When I first got into the Rocky movies, Rocky IV was kind of the sugary candy of the franchise. But then as you get older, Rocky just, it holds up much better. It's just a much better movie.
All right, Tim, how about you?
Yeah, you can't pick against a – I mean, sometimes you can in circumstances. But in this case, you know, an Academy Award Best Picture, you can't put Rocky IV. Like, what's better? Like, so, yeah, you got to do the original Rocky.
All right, Aaron, agree, disagree?
I would agree. You have to go Rocky. And I love Dolph Lundgren and Rocky IV, but it's got to be Rocky. There's no question.
All right. Well, Jeremy, your vote doesn't count, but what do you say?
I mean, if this was Talladega Nights versus Rocky, we would have a choice on our hands here. Well, it's clearly Rocky. And it sets up an insanely good matchup either way in the second round here.
Yeah, because this is an interesting one. The number two seed, Raging Bull, versus the number three seed in Creed. Both of these movies having some interesting competition. Million Dollar Baby barely loses to Creed that by one vote. This was the closest first round matchup we had. Creed moved over by one vote. Raging Bull a little bit more over Ali, but I was kind of curious to see how many people remember Raging Bull and still think about it. So I'm interested to hear what the panel has to say. So I'm going to start with Tim.
Creed, I mean, very solid movie. Don't get me wrong. I when you first heard about this movie being presented, you go like, oh God, it's Sylvester Stallone in a quest for more money, you know, like, but I was pleasantly surprised with it. Raging Bull is, I think, just too classic, too good. And up against, in this situation, I just have to go Raging Bull.
All right, Jeremy, how about you?
Yeah, on the network, our film historian Brandon Davis and I do the top 100 films of all time. We're in the middle of our list right now, and obviously Raging Bull is one of those. And most of the time when you see lists, it's probably in the top 15 or 20 of all-time great movies. And I will tell you, I'll say that, Neko, what you said, Tim, that Creed surprised me very much. And I mean, like, you know, it was Ryan Coogler, so I really should have known, because Fruitvale Station was amazing. But, you know, but you just, if once you go back and watch De Niro's performance in Raging Bull and how it works with Scorsese's direction, I mean, it's just literally, words almost can't describe how much magic those two made on that movie, and just how thoroughly watchable and mesmerizing that performance is. So I'm going Raging Bull as well.
All right, Aaron, what say you?
Okay, so this is where I diverge from popular opinion.
Okay, very much. Bring it.
And I'm ready for it. So I, before the bracket, had not seen Raging Bull. So I went back and I watched it, and I'm kind of struggling. It kind of, like Jeremy with Seabiscuit, like, I know I should love it and should be like, okay, I should be dazzled with this performance. And maybe it's because I've seen De Niro in other Scorsese films. Like, before I actually watched Raging Bull, but I'm kind of like, I'm struggling with it, especially too, as a sports movie. Like, I get it's about Jake LaMotta, but at the same time, I feel like it's boring Goodfellas without the crime and occasionally interspersed boxing in black and white.
Oh, there you go.
So for me, I'm like, I get that I should like it and I should love it, but I think I need some help. I need somebody to explain it to me maybe a little bit better, but I'm going with
Creed. No, that's fair. It's very fair.
I have tons of movies like that on, like, the AFI's top 100 that I watch, and I'm just like, I don't get it. But
I mean, it's a great movie, but to your point of, like, a sports movie, I'm like, okay, so it's like him being mean to everybody and destroying his relationships in his life, and then it's like, boxing match. Okay, back to him destroying everything, and then it's like two punches. So I don't know. That's how I feel right now.
No, you're right. It definitely is more a character study of, like, a boxer than a boxing. Yeah.
No, all right, John, what do you have to say, Raging Bull or Creed?
Man, you know, Aaron, you really got me thinking.
I know, right? She did well there. She did good.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, kind of the slow moving progression of the character in Raging Bull. I mean, that's what it was intended to do, and I think it holds up well. Creed is, I really love the movie, and like you guys said, it absolutely exceeded expectations. I mean, you expected it to be really, you know, Stallone looking for money, but yeah, it's a fantastic movie. I do wonder how it will hold up going forward, especially compared to something like Raging Bull. So I'm going to stick with Raging Bull.
All right. Whew. Well, thank you, John. You made me not have to vote. So I hear everything that you're saying, Aaron, because I think and if I was going to say anything about Creed, and I guess I will since it's about to go, Creed has maybe my favorite filmed boxing sequence ever. That single take that one fight, shot. Mm-hmm. That one that is so good that that's just like an exhilarating moment of sports on film.
Yeah.
As to your point, Aaron, Raging Bull, the fight scenes are maybe less important to the film than the character study. So, but anyway, we'll talk more about that in the next round. Let's move over to ice sports. Two Disney films duking it out. The number one seed, the Mighty Ducks, versus the number four seed in Miracle. John, let's start with you this time.
My wife is not going to be happy with me about this one. I'm going to say Miracle. I love it. It's a fantastic movie. I can watch it again and again and again, and it's still, I enjoy it. And just top, I think, you know, I never played hockey, but I think the authenticity, I mean, you know, the knuckle puck is not a real thing.
How dare you?
I've seen some shots in these playoffs that would beg to differ, sir.
That's true. Yeah, no, you're right. Because there was one in particular I remember thinking, yeah, that's a knuckle puck. But yeah, no, I'm going to say, I think Miracle, it stands, holds up for me, and just a better sports movie.
Okay. Tim, how about you?
This was really tough because Slapshot and Mighty Ducks and Miracle are my three favorite hockey movies. So just Mighty Ducks and Slapshot, like I almost had a seizure trying to decide which one there. But I'm with John. That Miracle just stands up for me longer. Like the old more old fogey I get, that's, Miracle stands up more. And it's Kurt Russell's performance. I contend that this is his best performance as an actor in his career as Herb Brooks. He's flawless as Herb Brooks in this movie. Just from interviews I've read and research I've done about the team itself, it's phenomenal. And I love the Mighty Ducks, but I'm going to give the edge to Miracle on this one.
Well, if there's one thing I've learned tonight, Tim, is that you clearly have not seen Captain Ron.
Again, this could be a whole other podcast, like for us to discuss this. But I love this Herb Brooks. It really is. It really.
All right, Jeremy, how about you?
So, you know, my wife would tell you that as much as she loves the Mighty Ducks, that this is not even the best of the Mighty Ducks series. She would say, Lou, that you should have put D2 in there.
Oh, geez.
I'm just relaying information.
Her and Scott can go have that conversation on a different podcast.
But you know, this is the thing. I remember the second, like, I was watching Miracle in the theater, and I remember thinking, this is one of my favorite movies I'm ever going to see. And I think that the way they shot the hockey sequences in that was perfect. Like nothing I've ever seen before. They got the cameras on the ice with them, like right up on them. And it just like led to that exhilaration. And this is, I think, by far one of the most important sports moments in history. Everything about this movie works for me. You're right to call out Kurt Russell. He's awesome. So Miracle's my vote, and it's probably going to keep getting my vote because I love this movie.
All right. Well, that's going to do it, Aaron. Your vote doesn't count. Neither does mine. Do you got anything you want to say before we move on?
No, I was going to vote for Miracle anyway.
Yes.
I voted for Slapshot, though. I will throw that out there. I was sad.
Me too, Aaron.
But I also understand why Slapshot did not make it. It would never hold up in 2019.
It is a little
It's so bad. But my dad and my uncles all played hockey, and my brother played hockey, so we spent a lot of time in Canada and stuff. So I am very... I love hockey movies. I'm done.
That's everyone's it. Dad loves Slapshot. That's a universal truth. It's everyone's dad's favorite sports movie.
Well, it's also my dad and uncles playing men's league and going to bars. Like my dad used to drag me out to the bars with them afterwards, which is, you know, now illegal. But like again, pretty accurate to how things were back then in men's league.
All right. Yep. All right. So that's a sweep. Let's move on. It's going to face a couple of different kinds of ice movies. The number two seed, the bobsled movie Cool Runnings versus a figure skating movie coming in at number six, The Cutting Edge. This is an weird matchup.
Yeah, just strange.
I'm gonna start, and I'm gonna go with the Jamaican bobsled team here, because I do think they do have the kind of thread of, you know, learning to come together as a team. Cool Runnings doesn't have a love story, although I think the 2019 reboot totally should. but I'm going to go with that, and it's got one of the best slow claps in movie history at the end. So I love me a good slow clap. I'm going to vote Cool Runnings. John, how about you?
I'll vote Cool Runnings. Almost by default, The Cutting Edge, much like Mighty Ducks franchise, you probably should have gone with Cutting Edge 2 because it's a far superior movie. but no, I'll go with Cool Runnings.
All right, Tim, how about you?
Cool Runnings, John Candy, can't deny it. Cutting Edge.
Aaron, you got anything to say?
I'll go with Cool Runnings. I go Cool Runnings. I loved Cutting Edge, but that's because my sister was a figure skater and my brother was a hockey player. So it was like, oh, but yeah, like, oh my God, let's go sports in one movie. But yeah, Cool Runnings.
All right. Well, Jeremy, is it going to be a shutout for the Jamaican bobsled team?
I just want the ledger to reflect that Cutting Edge got a vote. So I'm going to vote. I did like my dad when I was growing up had like, I think like 10 movies in his collection, and Cutting Edge was one of them. And all we did was watch them over and over again. So, you know, they invented this move that would literally kill a figure skater at the end of this movie.
Yes.
Every single time I watch this, I'm just like, that would never work ever. But yeah, I mean, Cool Runnings. Yeah, that's fine.
All right. All right. Now let's get to the football bracket. Jeremy, what do we got?
In the first round, Rudy, the number one seed, took out We Are Marshall. The Longest Yard fell to Waterboy in the Battle of the Adam Sandler football films. Any Given Sunday takes out North Dallas 40 to move on. People, what are you doing to me? Varsity Blues takes out the masterpiece that is Friday Night Lights to move on. Little Giants over Goldie Hawn and Wildcats. Remember the Titans demolishing Bend It Like Beckham. Keanu over Cruz, The Replacements, takes out Jerry Maguire. And The Blind Side taking out Maki Wahlberg in Invincible. Lou, back to you.
All right, well, let's start with the easy one here. Rudy versus the Waterboy.
Why do you think this
Does
is easy?
Does anyone have anything to say about
just
this?
Move the f*** on, Lou.
I think I've made myself on Adam Sandler very clear.
All right. Okay? Motion to advance Rudy with Carried. No further discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, Rudy advances over the Waterboy.
Well, that was incredibly easy.
It is. All right. Mostly because I want to get to this. This was the one I want to talk about.
Yeah, this is interesting.
The number 5 seed, Any Given Sunday, versus the number 13 seed, Varsity Blues. And before we get to that, yes, we need to discuss.
Come on, people.
The opening round matchup, the biggest upset, I think, of the opening round, and that is the number 13 seed Varsity Blues versus the number 4 seed Friday Night Lights. Did I just sleep on how many people like Varsity Blues, or did I overestimate how many people have seen Friday Night Lights?
I think you did overestimate how many people have seen Friday Night Lights, and also probably because more people associate with that television show than the movie.
That's true.
But
yeah,
the movie, every single time I watch Friday Night Lights, it is so emotional, so perfectly edited. Like, the music from Explosions in the Sky is so suited to that. Like, everything about that movie I absolutely love. And I love, like, spoiler warning, people, but, like, I love how it ends. And I love that it's not easy and it's not clean like most sports movies are. So, I'm sorry, man. I feel like John Boyd at the end of Varsity Blues right now.
Let's go. Come on, let's go.
Okay, I want to speak to what I think happened.
Uh-oh. Do we have a dissenter? Aaron, you voted.
Do not apologize.
I voted for Varsity
Blues. Oh, no.
Jesus.
Oh, no.
I know. Oh, I'm the worst. No, but I'm not defending myself. I'll own my vote. I feel like I'm still getting crap over the Magic Mike summer blockbuster vote, so it's fine. So what I think happened, Jeremy, to mend your heart, is that the book Friday Night Lights came out, which chronicles football in Texas. MTV gets a hold of this, makes a movie called Varsity Blues after studying football in Texas. So then it was like all this marketing, this, that, and the other. So the book comes out, then Varsity Blues comes out in like 1999. Then 5 years later, Friday Night Lights comes out. And I don't know when the TV show came out and then, but it's like, I feel like by the time you got that far in, people were like, oh yeah, another football, high school football movie.
Yeah, so no, the TV show was definitely like 5 or 6 years, I think, after the movie. It took a while for it to get to NBC.
All right.
Good point, though. That's fine. I can see where you're talking about there.
All right, so let's get to the matchup at hand, because Friday Night Lights is not in this matchup, but what is the movie that vanquished it, Varsity Blues versus Oliver Stone's Any Given Sunday. Tim, let's start with you.
I wouldn't even have Varsity Blues moving on, but...
They'd be in the NIT, man.
Oh, my. This would so be the NIT. Oh, my God. I mean, I actually enjoyed Varsity Blues being a high school senior when it came out. Like, the whole Allie Larder whipped cream bikinis on, being tweeter and a depraved sexual deviant. And it really didn't focus a lot on football. But Oliver Stone and, I don't know what to do with it, because the whole Al Pacino speech at the end of it, which everybody always, you know, wants to repost on YouTube and Facebook, and like, you know, his whole speech about, I'm just going to go Varsity Blues. F*** it. This is one of those coin toss movies for me, and I'm just going to go Varsity Blues.
Stone protest vote. Okay. I love it.
All right. Well, I'm gonna bring some sanity to the proceedings here.
Oh,
I'm going Any Given Sunday. Look, Varsity Blues. James Vanderbeek's accent alone should disqualify this from any serious film discussion.
Eyeball coming out in the end zone, Lou. Come on. What football movie has that?
More realistic than I Don't Want Your Life. I'm saying, I believe one of those I believed more than the other. What I find fascinating is, to me, Friday Night Lights deals with the obsession of high school football as if it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And Varsity Blues does the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. It talks about the obsession with football as if like it's this good thing, because you get all these like dickhead high school kids getting treated like God because they catch the ball real good, you know? And so for most of that, I'm like, this is everything that made me bitter about high school. So for that reason, and yeah, Pacino going full Pacino the end there. I think Jamie Foxx actually, by the way, gives a really good performance in this movie, as does Dennis Quaid. So I'm going with Any Given Sunday over Varsity Blues. Jeremy, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, look, I grew up with Varsity Blues. Again, this was also one of the 10 movies my dad owned. And I will say, like, there are some good moments there in Varsity Blues, like, especially when Billy Bob is breaking down and stuff and shooting his trophies out of the back of his truck. Like, there's some good commentary on, you know, how obsession can go crazy there. Not as good as Friday Night Lights, but whatever. Any Given Sunday is just very strange to me, because there's been very few movies that have tried to deal with the NFL and professional football seriously. And it's very strange to me that that's there. I don't know. Maybe the NFL just has so much money that they keep it away or something. But Any Given Sunday, though, you're right, though. I think Jamie Foxx is great. And I think this is kind of the movie that made him bankable a little bit to lead a movie. And, yeah, Pacino going full Pacino, but the football in that was especially brutal. I mean, he already called out the end zone. But I did like that they steered hard into the injury aspect of professional football and how, you know, they're pressured, especially like the Lawrence Taylor character, how they're pressured to want to play hurt, even, you know, and to not tell people they're hurt. And that's definitely something we're dealing with now. So I'm going to go with Any Given Sunday. Just the cast is stacked.
All right, John, how about you?
So, Lou, you mean to tell me that the backup QB at Allman High School wasn't secretly on the sidelines reading Kurt Vonnegut in the middle of games?
No, he was.
That's not
he
how
was,
I remember high school, but anyway. No, yeah, Varsity Blues. Yeah, I'll never get past the fact that it lost to or it beat out Friday Night Lights. Yeah, Any Given Sunday is over the top with, you know, the eyeball. Just a skosh. But no, I'll go with Any Given Sunday, but I could think of a number of movies that I would vote ahead of it. But in this case, Any Given Sunday.
All right. Over Stone, Over the Top?
So,
get out.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, where was that?
Oh, Over the Top, that is a great sports movie.
Oh, man.
Not in miscellaneous category, by the way.
Oh, sorry. You know, underground sports, man. Yeah, there's no pro arm wrestling back then.
Hey, arm wrestling was on ESPN at one point. So, anyway. Okay, Aaron, your vote doesn't count. Would you have still voted for Varsity Blues? Would you have wanted it to make its way to the Sweet 16?
No. I would have voted for Any Given Sunday, but I will say it was – that movie came out when I was a senior in high school, and I was dating a football player, so I was very near and dear to my heart. But when I got to college, whose parties were I at every weekend? The Theater House. Yep.
That's
in lieu of Vindication.
And you figured it out.
Yep, exactly.
All right, let's move on to another interesting matchup here. The number 3 seed, remember the Titans, versus the number 11 seed, another upset in the first round, Little Giants, which easily took out Wildcats. I got to think this is a generational thing to me.
Because
I don't know, maybe a lot of people haven't seen Wildcats. But just to eulogize it before we get to this matchup, Wildcats, if you haven't seen it, that is one fun high school movie.
It is.
No one in that movie looks like they're in high school. Like Wesley Snipes already looks 40.
Oh my god,
Woody Harrelson. I mean, like, that was young Woody Harrelson, and he still looks 50 in that. So,
but that movie—that's such a fun football movie. I'm kind of, you know, nothing wrong with the Little Giants, but I would have loved to see Wildcats in this. But let's open it up, Aaron. What say you? Remember the Titans or Little Giants?
Remember the Titans is a better sports movie, I think. I mean, yeah, Little Giants is fun and it's like, oh, cutesy, you know, little kids playing football. But I just feel like the issue, like, again, I found that I really veer towards time period sports pieces, apparently. But I think it does a really good job of dealing with racial tensions and sports in high schools. And I don't know. I thought it was Denzel Washington's great in it. I just prefer that movie.
Jeremy, how about you?
Yeah, no, you hit it right there. I mean, aside, like, look, the football is great in Remember the Titans. The performances are obviously great. Denzel doing just peak Denzel. Will Patton, I always feel like, kind of gets lost in that. He's fantastic in that movie, too. But you're right. Like, what I love most about Remember the Titans is just, like, and there's other movies that do this, too, just how sports can be a healing factor in the real world and how they can be something that moves people forward in their lives like that. So, and you're right. I grew up with Little Giants. I can quote it. It's a fun movie. But Remember the Titans, I think, is just a far and above better movie and sports movie.
All right, John, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, Remember the Titans, as far as a sports movie that holds up, that has an actual message, and is just substantially built and written and acted. Yeah, it's Remember the Titans.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. Tim, you got anything to say?
Nothing to add. Remember the Titans, hands down.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so much for the annexation of Puerto Rico.
I know, man. team hasn't tried it yet, man.
But for those of you who are sad to see John Madden lose, I've got good news for you. He's showing up again.
Yep, momentarily.
In the final matchup of the round of 32. the number two seed, The Blind Side, versus the number seven seed, The Replacements. The Replacements beating Jerry Maguire, and I got a lot of flack for putting Jerry Maguire as low of a seed as I did. And my defense is, I think it's a romantic comedy that has sports in the background. I don't think it's as much of a sports movie.
You're right.
The climactic scene isn't a sports game. It's Jerry Maguire in the living room professing his love. It's You Had Me at Hello. So
yeah, you're right.
Probably stand by my decision. Thank you, Internet. But let's open it up here. Let's start with Jeremy, The Blind Side versus The Replacements.
So this is going to be really fun for everyone, because if you don't know, I hate The Blind Side. I hate this movie. A, because I read the book first and was very taken by the story, and then they completely trashed that story, I think, in this book in favor of an Oscar piece. So, and also it's just bad luck that it's up against one of my sleeper favorite football movies of all time. I freaking love The Replacements. I think Keanu Reeves might be one of the most charming actors of all time. I'm not saying he's going to win an Oscar, but damn it if I don't smile every time I see him on screen, even when he's killing people in John Wick. So, I mean, you know, I'm voting for The Replacements. I think it's a fantastically sleeper movie.
All right, Tim, how about you?
I tell you what, Jeremy, I'm on your team. If both of these movies were on simultaneously, this is kind of one of my like deciding factors. If both of these movies were on simultaneously, I would rather watch The Replacements, even though, just like any given Sunday, the NFL didn't sanction their,
the Washington Sentinels.
Like, you know, and that's, I once I got over that, I was like, okay. But you know what? Kind of like Hoosiers, like Gene Hackman. I mean, he's enjoyable in this movie, and some of the secondary players on the team are, you know, have some. I mean, you have what's his name from The Office?
Initial.
He plays a deaf tight end in this movie. From The Office. But
and Reese Iffens is the kicker, man. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, I'm wiry. Like that kind of stuff is more memorable, I think, than. Oh, a rich white family saves somebody from a poor neighborhood. Like, okay, that's fine. Like, it's all well and good, but I enjoy The Replacements more.
All right, Aaron, how about you?
The Replacements.
Yeah. Take that, Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, nope, you're clearly not going to get an argument from me on this one.
I don't mean to say, like, look, if you like The Blind Side, cool. I mean, and like I said, the story is great. The story is really, really good. I encourage everyone to read the book, because Michael Orr is what sticks out of the book. And in the movie, he's almost an afterthought. That's my big issue.
Mm-hmm. And I like Sandra Bullock as an actress. Like, I've got no problem with her. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if you want to hear more about The Replacements, you can find our Guilty Pleasures episode on The Replacements featuring John and myself talking. So, John, do you have any thoughts on this match before we move on?
Yeah, I guess just to the early point of if they're both on simultaneously, which one are you going to watch? I'm going to say The Replacements. Both movies, you have to suspend disbelief a little bit. The Blind Side, you know they Hollywoodized the story to make it what it is. Mm-hmm. The Replacements, how Keanu got from his boat to the stadium and dressed and ready for game time in the period of a halftime period.
Yeah.
Probably not going to happen. But it's Keanu Reeves, so who knows? Anyway, yeah, I have no problem with The Replacements.
Maybe he did that whole Neo flying thing, you know?
That's right.
Possibly.
All right, so here we are. We have made it to the Sweet 16. Jeremy, show us those updated brackets.
All right, updated here from the baseball golf side. We've got Bull Durham going up against a league of their own and Field of Dreams taking on the lone golf survivor in Caddyshack.
Oh, okay. I think we're done messing around. I think we've got some serious matchups to talk about now.
We do.
And that's the thing with sports movies. It's really kind of feast or famine sometimes. But I think we're in some solid territory here. So let's start with that top matchup. Bull Durham versus A League of Their Own. This is an interesting matchup to me. John, let's start with you.
I'm going to go with A League of Their Own. And so when we get into this round, Bull Durham, I think I said last time, it's equal parts romance movie and sports movie. And so now if we're talking about a sports movie, we're getting to down to the Sweet 16. This is where League of Their Own, just being a better sports movie for me, and staying consistent as far as what it adds to the narrative of what we know about sports. A League of Their Own.
All right. Aaron, how about you?
I agree with John. When it comes down to it, it's just a better sports story, history biopic. League of Their Own.
Wow. All right, Tim.
I literally cannot add any more than what John and Aaron already said. I obviously love Bull Durham, but League of Their Own, it's better.
Wow. All right. And our votes don't count, Jeremy, but what do you got to say?
This is one of those strange things where I vote against a movie in one round and then passionately vote for it the next round. I'm the same way. It's like Bull Durham, you're right. Like, there's so much great, like, especially if you've played baseball, there's so many great things. Or if you've been around someone who's played baseball, there's so many great things about that movie and fun lines. League of Their Own, again, like it keeps coming back. Like every couple of years when I watch it, it's just I have a lot of trouble finding any faults in that movie.
I know.
It's just very well made, very well told movie. So League of Their Own for me.
Yeah, I got to agree. And I think, again, for sports movies, this movie, League of Their Own, builds up a better, like, rousing sports climax, where Bull Durham, I think, has a lot of great moments about baseball, but isn't maybe, as you pointed out, John, ostensibly about baseball. It's mm-hmm. set in that world, but it's got like that, the conference on the mound scene, still one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Or the lollygag monologue, which is another great one. It's got like some like memorable moments, but yeah, in terms of an overall narrative, I think I'm on board. League of Their Own taking out the number one seed and moving on to the Elite Eight. Let's get to this other very matchup between two very different films.
Yeah.
We have Field of Dreams versus Caddyshack. Jeremy, what say you?
Yeah, this is tough. This is tougher than I thought it would be. Just because, again, every time I think back to Caddyshack, I mean, I think of the lines and I laugh. And it's just a fun movie to watch. But, you know, somebody already said it, but it's just, I don't know a movie that encapsulates what a sport is better than Field of Dreams. You know, just like the way it talks about baseball and the way it, you know, what it can mean to deeper things than just playing the game itself. So I want to vote for Field of Dreams. It's just James Earl Jones's speech forever.
All right, Aaron, how about you?
Oh. Yeah. Come on, Caddy girl.
I know, right? Like, I'm like, oh, God. This passed me. Just not that it's going to sway my vote, but come back to me.
Yeah, I'm surprised you got this far without that happening once.
Wow. Okay. All right, Tim, what do you got?
This is a matter of, I mean, it's tough because it's a matter of one of my favorite comedy films versus one of my favorite dramatic films. So one of the films pulls at my heartstrings. Baseball is my favorite sport. And as Jeremy was saying, it's a movie that focuses on baseball, the sport. James Earl Jones and his speech and whatnot. But we also have Caddyshack that would make me laugh forever. I mean, for the first time I saw it to the 17th time I saw it, I laughed just as much. So it's a matter of what do you want to feel like? How do you want to feel? Do you want to feel a movie that moves you, or do you want to feel a movie that really makes you laugh? So it's really a tough decision, and I'm just going to blurt it out and say Field of Dreams.
Whew. Okay. I'm going to balance it out a little bit because I love both of these movies, but I'm going to say this. There is no golf course in America where on a daily basis, somebody is not quoting Caddyshack.
That is true.
That's
very true.
And, like, you can't play golf. Like, there's somebody who's going to say, be the ball, or no, 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 no. Like, they're going to do, like, you know, it's just happening. So in terms of, like, a sports movie that's really just, like, connected to its sport, for that reason, I'm going to go Caddyshack, even though I love Field of Dreams. And I live right next to Iowa. So like, I think I may not be allowed over there, but I'm going to vote for Caddyshack.
I was going to say, Lou, like my contention to that would be, do you have anywhere where people, it's like a mecca for them going to Dyersville, Iowa, to go to this place because a movie was filmed there, like where baseball fans just drift towards. Like, yeah, you always quote it on a golf course, but I mean, Dyersville, who the hell would go to Dyersville, Iowa, and if not for this?
Well, listen, people are going to Chernobyl right now because of that HBO movie. So let's not.
Got a point.
People will go to some really bad. People will go to some extreme
lengths. It's not an argument. It's just a more like cultural significance. You know?
Yeah, but I was just at work last week, and literally a guy walked out of the clinic, and I was like, "Nice hat," and it was a Bushwood Country Club hat.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you do a bowl of soup with that hat? Yeah.
No, but okay. I think I can articulate what I don't know if I can. I think I would. What's more of a sports movie? A better sports movie, sports. And I would agree, like, that's where I'm getting hung up is what's more overpowering in each film. And I think in Field of Dreams is an amazing movie, but what's more overpowering is the story of him and his father and his relationship and the connection, like you guys also had talked about. Whereas I feel like Caddyshack is more of a pure sports movie.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I'll say about that. Caddyshack will make you think that golf is an interesting sport.
That's true. Yes. Yes.
People already like baseball. It's not hard to get emotionally invested in a baseball movie. I think it's hard to get emotionally invested in a golf movie. So for that reason, but anyway. So, okay.
What you're telling me is that if Rodney Dangerfield was commentating PGA Tour events way back when,
I would be huge. The biggest golf fan you would know.
Yes.
Well, anyway, Rodney Dangerfield made a speech like James Earl Jones about golf.
There you go.
Oh my God, totally. So I go Caddyshack.
All right, so John, it's down to you. We've got two votes Field of Dreams, two votes Caddyshack. You are the tiebreaker.
So for me, I see this as a debate between kind of the surface level joy of Caddyshack versus kind of that inner importance of Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams, when you hear the James Earl Jones monologue, you know, he talks about how relevant baseball has been and how it's held through the ages. That monologue is going to hold through the ages. And watching Field of Dreams, yeah, the relationship between Kevin Costner and his dad and then just that relationship is a huge dynamic of it. But watching that movie makes me believe in baseball and how even if the Brewers suck, so being a Brewers fan, you know, even for the long stretch of time when they did, watching that movie made me feel a connection to the sport of baseball in something beyond just, you know, what I see on TV. So Field of Dreams, for me, it holds up and it promotes it and shows the importance of the sport in a way that is too great for me to vote it down. So I'm going to say Field of Dreams.
All right. So there it is. No golf going to the Elite Eight. Field of Dreams advances over Caddyshack, and it's going to make a real sentimental matchup coming up next round. Let's move on now to what's the finals for our miscellaneous region. Again, two very different films, The Karate Kid versus Talladega Nights. Based on our discussion in last round, is there a whole lot of discussion to be had, or are we going to rubber stamp this one too?
Nope. Rubber stamp it.
All right, that is so. That's Talladega Nights advancing over The Karate Kid. What a surprise! Yeah. There, you guys really
you're
shocked
not
me.
You're not first, you're last.
Good to be with you guys. Take it easy.
No. Okay, so that's the second time we've rubber stamped Karate Kid, and I think we'll get to talk about it more in last round. But so it's going to advance over Talladega Nights. It's going to face the winner of the finals in our basketball region. This is a very interesting discussion. I think the number one seed, Hoosiers versus the number three seed in White Men Can't Jump. Aaron, let's start with you, or do you need to pass this time too?
Oh, the better basketball movie is Hoosiers. I love White Men Can't Jump, but I mean, I don't know. Hoosiers is Hoosiers. And it's concentrating on, I don't know. They're so different. And one I think is very like cultural commentary in one way and then cultural commentary in another, but I got to go Hoosiers.
All right. Tim, how about you?
I'm very much with Aaron. This is very similar to our last pick of Caddyshack and Field Games. What do you feel like? I mean, White Queen yeah. can't jump. If you're in a mood for that movie, it can be perfect, but Hoosiers can tug at your heartstrings a little bit more, and who doesn't appreciate a drunk Dennis Hopper? So,
is there any other kind?
But Hoosiers, I love Why Men Can't Jump. The phenomenal movie, but Hoosiers is one of those movies that can pull at your heartstrings a little bit more, that you can, I think, feel a little bit more emotional towards Hoosiers, I think.
All right. Well, I'm going to be the dissenter here, and I'm going to at least tip it a little bit towards White Men Can't Jump, because I still, to me, I think White Men Can't Jump touches about the, not only the basketball sequences are better, it's a lot more, it's more fun. And I know Hoosiers isn't trying to be a fun movie. It's meant to be more the heartstrings inspirational, but I also think White Men Can't Jump for a comedy also has a lot of great character development in it and good character moments. So for that reason, I'm still sticking with White Men Can't Jump over Hoosiers. So that makes it 2-1. John, what say you? Is Hoosiers moving on, or are we going to a tie?
If Hoosiers were made now, it would be the 800th movie that followed the script of kind of the underdog, the little guy, you know, making mm-hmm. it. But it's not made now. It kind of started the whole, this formula of a sports movie. So I'm going to say Hoosiers.
All right. There it is. That's Hoosiers advancing. Jeremy, do you have any thoughts before we move on?
I would have voted for Hoosiers as well. I'll save it for the next round, man.
All right. Yeah, well. It's fine. It's fine. I'm okay. I'm okay. It's fine. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. Whatever.
I would have voted for it, but I would have hated myself. Okay. I would have just hated myself.
There's nothing wrong with hating yourself, Jeremy. I've learned to do that now for the last... I've embraced it.
Everyone
it's good.
Hates
it's
me.
All right. Yeah. So, all right. Let's get over to the other side of the bracket. Jeremy, let's see what our choices are over there.
Yeah, definitely. So in the boxing and ice category here, two boxing, two ice. We got to love that. Rocky going up against Raging Bull, and Miracle going up against Cool Runnings.
All right. This is an interesting one, because I think when you think boxing movies, these are probably the two that come to mind. It's Rocky and it's Raging Bull. And I think they're both interesting choices, because one takes the inspirational route and one takes the grittier, harder edge route. Aaron, I think you made your thoughts on Raging Bull known in the last round. So can I go ahead? I'm assuming you're going to go with Rocky on this one.
I am going to go with Rocky. I think Raging Bull, while it is obviously a critically acclaimed film, I think that if you ask, well, depending on the age demographic you ask, who knows, like, what sports movie or boxing movie are they going to go with? And I think the answer is good. I would think is Rocky, because it's more feel good than Raging Bull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's a good point to what people want out of your sports movies. I think most people go to sports movies for kind of that inspiration, for that feel good. And even if the main characters don't win, which doesn't happen, I mean, that doesn't happen in Rocky necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, the grittier side of Raging Bull or the grittier side of a sport oftentimes isn't met as well or thought of as fondly. That's like a film that didn't make the second round. The Wrestler, I think, was a great example of that. That movie is a lot like, you know, kind of like Raging Bull in the world mm-hmm. of professional wrestling. But I agree with you.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with the inspiration. I'm going to go with Rocky over Raging Bull. I like Raging Bull, and I think that movie is a beautifully shot film. I think if you haven't seen it in a while, I agree. I think you should, and get it on HD or Blu-ray. Just even though it's a black and white movie, the things that Scorsese does, I think, are really outstanding. So I'd recommend it, but I'm not going to recommend it to advance. I'm going with Rocky. John, how about you?
Yeah, Rocky. I mean, for the things that you said, and I mean, the greatest thing, you know, if Rocky had won that match, it would have been a different story, but the ending of that movie was just enough so it was inspirational, but quasi believable. Rocky.
Yep. All right. So that's enough for Rocky to advance. Jeremy, Tim, you got anything to say about Rocky or Raging Bull before we move on?
No, I would go with Rocky as well. The coordination, I think Rocky in the, if you see any sort of documentaries on it, the fight choreography is extremely rare. It was not revolutionary. That's a bit of an extreme term, but it was with him and Carl Weathers was, what's a better word than revolutionary? What's better? That is extreme.
Iconic.
Further the medium. Iconic.
Sure. Whatever. but that their fight choreography was excellent, and yeah, the movie I would say I enjoyed more of Raging Bull.
All right, so let's get over to our ice sports finale: Miracle versus Cool Runnings. Again, to Disney likes them some ice movies,
right?
That's what I'm learning here.
They're comfortable with ice movies.
They like the winter sports, apparently.
Yeah.
So, all right, John, what say you? Cool Runnings or Miracle?
Yeah, Disney does that. I took the kids to Disney on Ice a year or two ago. It's great production. Yeah, it's Miracle. It's just a better movie. The story, both movies, obviously, true stories, but Miracle, probably a little closer to the actual line of the story. And Miracle's just a fantastic movie. I love it. I can't get enough of that movie.
All right. Aaron, how about you?
Miracle. Right. Again, back to what you said, like, what are you looking for out of your movie? And that's pure inspiration.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jeremy.
Yeah, Miracle. I'm going to keep it short and sweet because I'm wanting it to go all the way, dude. So,
all right. Well, that's enough for it to advance. Tim, you got anything to say?
No, Miracle as well.
Yep. Okay. Well, and I'll say, look, Cool Runnings. I think this was if we had a Cinderella in the Sweet 16, it's got to be Cool Runnings to make it that far. So I'm glad to see it, at least in the conversation. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to put that speech, the Kurt Russell speech up at the end, and obviously the historical context makes Miracle maybe an easy pick here. So, all right, let's go down to our football region. Jeremy, what do we got?
Yeah, okay, here we go. Football bracket. We've got Rudy going up against Oliver Stone's Any Given Sunday, and Remember the Titans going up against those Misfits in The Replacements.
What a hodgepodge this is. This is wild. I don't know. Okay. All right. So let's start it off here. Rudy versus Any Given Sunday. Tim, you made your thoughts known on Oliver Stone early. What say you here?
Well, I'm just going to have to go with Rudy. The man in real life is a D-bag, but either way, the movie itself is far and away better. JFK goes to the NFL.
All right, Jeremy, how about you?
I'm not like a huge ride or dier for Rudy, but I mean, it's better than Any Given Sunday. I mean there is a distinct lack of James Woods in Rudy, which does count against it from an acting perspective.
Does a lack of James Woods deter us from anything?
Not in life, Lou. Not in life.
Because Twitter's been a hell of a lot better.
I will say, like, his doctor character in Any Given Sunday is one of the highlights for me, which I'm ashamed to say. But
who knew that James Woods could authentically play a morally ambiguous D-bag?
Well, hindsight being 2020.
Who saw that coming? Who saw him prime those depths?
Current sight being 2020. Hades makes a lot more sense for him right now.
All right. Okay. All right. Aaron, what say you? Is Rudy advancing?
Rudy's advancing.
Okay. All right. John, you got anything to say here?
Yeah, I'd vote for the Hobbit and the gold helmet.
Comment of the night, yes. Candidate there.
That's a much better title.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. No, I'll actually say I like Any Given Sunday, I think, more than most people do.
I like it.
And I think it's like Oliver Stone's. It's a little much at times, probably a little too long. But I think there's some really good performances. I think it's also one of Cameron Diaz's best roles.
Yes.
She is like outstanding in that movie. So I there's a lot of things. And John C. McGinley as a Jim Rome parody.
Yeah, dude.
Is he's, yeah. Oh, I love it. I want
John
C.
McGinley doing anything, man.
Dr. Cox as a sports host.
It's perfect. He is so, like, it's wonderful. So there's a lot of things I like about Any Given Sunday. It is surrounded by a lot of just, you know, too muchness. But anyway, Rudy.
Well, hey, also though, it gave us one of the best sports names ever in Steamin' Willie Beeman. I mean, let's be honest, people.
We won't go further into his rap song because we're we've already reached our limit.
Very quickly,
yeah,
man.
He does. We'll do a guilty pleasure on Any Given Sunday. We'll
video.
We'll break that down for football season. All right. So who's Rudy going to take on in the football region? Is it going to be the third seed? Remember the Titans, or is it going to be the number 7 seed? The Replacements. Aaron, let's start with you.
Why? I'm going to go remember the Titans.
Okay. All right.
I love the Replacements. It's so fun, but I really appreciate the issues that Remember the Titans tackles and the way in which they do it.
See what you did there.
All right. Jeremy, how about you?
Yeah. There comes a point where, you just got to go with what the better movie is. And I think that's Remember the Titans. I quote Denzel's speeches in that movie so many times, just because it's just peak Denzel Washington. I mean, like, it's a Disney movie about a high school football team. He easily could have phoned that in, but he is going for it. And I absolutely love it. And every time, you know, the emotion starts in that movie, it just gets me.
All right, John, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, this absolutely breaks my heart, but if I'm being honest with myself, Remember the Titans.
Oh, fine. Okay. All right, Tim, you got any thoughts on this match before you move on?
Nothing to add than what my predecessors have. I mean, that's exactly right. Remember the Titans.
Yeah, I'm okay with letting go of the Replacements at the Sweet 16. I think it being in the top 16 of sports movies is
be proud of yourself.
And it's not even the lower 16, because I'd put it above Talladega Nights or Cool Runnings or a couple of others. So, okay, I can live with that. And I like Remember the Titans, too. Remember the Titans is just a really effective movie. And we'll talk more about it because we are now in the Elite Eight. We are narrowing it down. Jeremy, let's see those matchups.
Yeah, just everybody have fun with this one. Baseball golf bracket finals, A League of Their Own versus Field of Dreams. Everyone have some fun here. I call not it on first.
Oh, okay. Well, John, how about you?
Perfect, man.
It worked, yes.
You know, God, I mean, obviously at the Elite Eight, you can't go wrong with either one of them.
By the way, just so we know, at this point, we're now determining the greatest baseball movie of all time.
That's true. Right.
No pressure.
No pressure, man.
Okay. Greatest baseball movie of all time. So there's a lot of ways that makes a movie great. One of them is opening you up to something that you didn't know or feel before. I'm going to stick with what I've said in earlier rounds about A League of Their Own, in that it enlightened the audience to a piece of baseball history that I don't think many people knew anything about. And not only did the script do that, but the acting top to bottom was just unbelievable. Field of Dreams is a fantastic movie, but between the two of them, I'm going to go with A League of Their Own.
All right. Tim, how about you?
Jesus Christ, John.
All right. Let's get MTV Real World on this, man. Come on.
Seriously. These are literally two favorite baseball movies. I mean, mm-hmm. It literally is. So it pleases me that these are the two finalists. And I have three children, but it's like, okay, well, pick your favorite. Like, I don't know. I mean, oh God. Field of Dreams.
Okay.
I was blurting it out. I was
there you go.
Yeah.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Going with your gut, and that's tying it up at 1-1. Jeremy, how about you?
Okay. I feel like, you know, I have to keep my wife's love in a way.
Overrated.
Own your, be yourself, Jeremy. We're here.
I absolutely love both of these movies. Like everybody, that's going to be this comment we all make. But I think what you said, John, makes a lot of sense to me. You know, because I didn't know anything about this. The women's league. I didn't know that they played while the men were away. And I thought that the way that that story is told is just so personal. And so, I mean, like, there's so many great scenes in that movie that just gut you. I mean, especially the letter scene. I mean, right before the big game and stuff, like it's just all of that stuff just works really well. So I'm voting A League of Their Own. I'm going for it.
All right, Aaron, how about you?
Going A League of Their Own. And
one of us.
Yeah. Well, again, right? Field of Dreams, quintessential baseball movie. Everyone can quote, if you build it, they will come. You're right. People make trips out to Dyer, Iowa. I did myself. Like, I went out there to the Field of Dreams, which is now split into the Field of Dreams and the left and center Field of Dreams due to a property dispute. But so it's a little lackluster, but, I think what A League of Their Own does that every other baseball movie doesn't do is it's a four quadrant. It hits the four quadrant, demographics. It appeals to everybody. I think a majority of the baseball movies that have been made appeal to men. And what this movie does that I really love, especially as a girl growing up in the 90s, and even now when I look back, is that, you see a side of history where women had a certain role culturally and in society and in the home, and they're given an opportunity to step outside of that role. And what I think they do, like, what I love that the movie does is that they actually show them not only step into this role and they're trying to be like, hey, okay, stay in your pretty little box, girls, but they do a great job of being like, we're playing a sport that's been here for boys, and they play just as well as the boys. And they're in the dresses, so they're showing both the feminine and kind of like this masculine component of these women and them trying to do the balance act. I've got to be pretty. I've got to be a woman. I've got to be soft. I've got to be this, but I'm playing this sport where I've got to be strong and I'm spitting and I'm holding my own with the boys. And I think they do that beautifully also with the relationship between Tom Hanks and Gina Davis's character. So I think this movie actually appeals more to the masses. I still actually see costumes for girls and women to dress up as the baseball players in the League of Their Own, which I think is, you know, awesome. So League of Their Own.
How did we make it this far in this podcast and not even discuss there's no crying in baseball? I mean, Field of Dreams has Dad, You Want to Have a Catch, or If You Build It, They Will Come. But League of Their Own has one of the great, like, sports freakouts of all time, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I love both movies.
He's a fantastic character.
Yeah. Oh, he's great. Yeah, like, and everybody's nailing it. We're gonna talk more about League of Their Own in a minute. But, yeah. Field of Dreams. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with either of these movies. So it's not going to advance. League of Their Own is making it to the Final Four. What's it going to face? Jeremy, what's our matchup?
Here in our basketball miscellaneous bracket, Hoosiers, the number one seed, is going up against the Karate Kid. Such an interesting matchup to dissect here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to start, and because we haven't gotten to talk about the Karate Kid at all, because we've rubber stamped it two straight rounds. So I'm going to start because it's going to get my vote to go to the Final Four over Hoosiers.
Wow. Okay.
Because I think, look, it does the underdog story, but it does it for a teenage audience. Mm-hmm. It makes karate cool. I think there were a lot more people that were interested in karate because of this movie, which is one of the other things that we talk about. Everybody knows the crane kick. Everyone knows wax on, wax off. I think if you want a sports movie that's endured, I think it's endured and probably has aged better than Hoosiers. So for all of those reasons, Karate Kid sweeping the leg for me. It gets my vote. Tim, how about you? You look very dismayed at that.
I wouldn't say dismayed, because I mean, but both movies are excellent, and your culture, it sweeps the leg for me. Like, couldn't be more like chef for me. But as far as an underdog story, I like Hoosiers better, just because. Yeah, not a lot of people knew about, you know, karate and whatnot, but. In Hoosiers, the underdog story is, as Gene Hackman would say, fundamentals and defense. That was the, you know, the reason why they won. And whereas Cobra Kai was, you know, strike first, ask questions later kind of thing, where Indiana basketball is, all right, score the points, shoot as much as you can. So it really is kind of a difference of, okay, should you choose basketball or karate underdog story. And in a simpleton phrase, I would say that basketball in this movie would be a favorite of mine, and just the performances I appreciate more than I would performances in Karate Kid. So I would go with Hoosiers.
Okay. All right. Jeremy, how about you?
Yeah, you both did a really good job convincing me which way to vote. So, I'm in a dilemma here. But, you know, there's always what you said about the Karate Kid is absolutely right, Lou, and you as well with Hoosiers. You know, the scene in Hoosiers that always gets me is the scene where they walk into the big stadium for the first time, and the very first thing the coach does is measure the baskets and how tall it is and how far away it is, and just saying, you know, I think you'll find it's the same in our gym too. And I just, like, I don't know why, but that scene is just literally one of those that's always stuck with me in any movie I've ever seen. Just because, again, just the incredible underdogness of that movie just sticks with me. So I'm going to very closely go with Hoosiers.
All right. John, how about you?
So, I mean, Hoosiers taught us very clearly that boring-ass basketball can be effective. Just defense, defense, defense.
That's the old Wisconsin method, right?
It got into the Final Four when I was in college, and yeah, carried them ever since. But as far as a movie, yeah, I mean, you know, Elite Eight, they're both great movies. I'm just going to go with Hoosiers. I think just, you know, Gene Hackman's performance and just overall, I just think it's a better movie.
Wow, all right. That'll do it. But Aaron, how would you have voted?
I was going to vote with you, Lou. I was going to go Karate Kid.
Oh, you picked the wrong order, man.
I should. I did. I went out of order there. Yeah.
I will say, if we could find a way to get Pat Morita into Hoosiers, it would just be the perfect.
Oh, that's, my God. That's an excellent point. Yes.
What about the tutelage in that movie? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's cruise to the other side of the bracket. And what do we got for our Elite Eight matchups over there, Jeremy?
All right, well, we've got a hockey and a boxing movie here. We're going to go with the original Rocky versus The Miracle on Ice in Miracle. All right, let's do this.
Yeah, look, it's a no-brainer for me. It's Rocky. Sorry. Rocky to me is still one of the – like, I think it's – like, it's just – it's Rocky. Come on. And here's the one thing that I'll say about the one – If I put a knock on Miracle, and it's a minor quibble, and I think a lot of people will say it, is because you already kind of, to me, no, I knew the outcome when I went to see Miracle. They didn't, like, make the movie less entertaining. But the fact that Rocky pulls the rug out from what you would expect the ending to be, I think gives it a little bit of an edge there. And Rocky's just still such an inspirational film and franchise. It's still part of our culture. So I'm going with Rocky. Tim, how about you?
And Lou, my contention with just like the people that hated the movie Titanic, which has not aged well for me, but they go, well, what happens at the end? Does the ship sink?
Yeah, like, yeah, I know. We all know the ship sinks.
Listen, every time I see that movie, I am still hoping that they miss that iceberg.
Yeah.
I will admit that as a 37-year-old woman, I am still crossing my fingers every time I turn it on.
Aaron, I'm right there with you. I have trouble with that contender. Like, yeah, you know what happens. Like, come on. Like, it's just, and this is really such a basic bro opinion of mine. Like, I enjoy hockey more. It's one of my favorite sports, probably number two behind baseball. And just, and again, Herb Brooks' performance, I alluded to this earlier, like, and what they got out of the guys, because they had to get actors that had to be play the sport of hockey, but also act out of their way of a wet paper bag. And like, I think like they had, I think they found a few of those guys in that movie that were able to do that. And that's kind of a tall order. And I have to go with Miracle. I have to.
All right, Jeremy, what say you?
Yeah. So here's what's funny about this is that I hear what you're saying, Lou. I do, because of the, you know what's going to happen. So then I think it becomes incumbent upon the filmmakers of how do you shoot that inevitable outcome? How well do you shoot that sequence? And that sequence in Miracle, where the clock is ticking down and the Russian coach like doesn't know what to do because he's literally never been in this position before, where he's down at the end of a game. The way that it's going there, showing Herb and like celebrating in the tunnel because he doesn't want to show the emotion in front of his players. Like, I don't know. Like, I just think that just continues to be that moment for me. And you know, honestly, Rocky isn't even my favorite boxing movie. My favorite boxing movie isn't even on this bracket, which is Cinderella Man. So that's where I'm coming down on this. I told you I wanted to go all the way. I'm going Miracle.
All right, John, how about you?
Oh, God, Lou. Jesus.
He votes for
Jesus. This is just such a tough one. I mean, for the points that everybody's brought up, I mean, Miracle, yeah, you obviously you know the ending, but still – the end of the game when they pipe in Al Michaels' commentary.
Yeah.
When Herb's in the tunnel afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I still get chills. You still get, you know, the feeling every time I see it. It's just such a unbelievably well done movie. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, if only Rocky could have had such a effective final scene. I guess that would make this.
Yeah.
Only Rocky had some sort of similar. Wrong,
but here's the thing. Miracle benefited from an additional 30 years of filmmaking technology to make that end what it was.
Yeah.
Rocky still does have that feeling, and it's driven entirely by against all odds Sylvester Stallone, who I love, but come on, man. And so I think because of that and just how kind of the raw emotion of it comes through in a film made in 1976 and it still has that feeling now, I'm going to go with Rocky.
All right. That ties it up. Aaron, here you go.
You're welcome, Aaron.
Rocky versus Miracle.
God be with you, Aaron.
Who's going to the final four?
My gosh. Obviously, yes to what everyone has said. Miracle does an amazing job eliciting the emotion of what a sports movie should. It is exhilarating. I actually, to Tim's point, really appreciated someone who grew up with hockey. The fact that, like you said, they had to find actors who could both play hockey at a certain level and act. And so that actually was even more charming and endearing to me, because much like the 1980s, who were all amateurs, so were many of these actors. So, you know, I thought that was like poetic justice in a way. However, when we get into the final four and we start looking at cultural relevance and the ripple effect it's had and everything, it's like, yes, Rocky has, with that one single movie, has created a dynamic character and a huge franchise and a household name. And not that Miracle hasn't, but I think that one of the things that limits Miracle is also the time in which it happened. And as you and even though that's the same with Rocky, Rocky still remains to be relevant. Whereas the further you move out of the out of 1980, the less emotional attachment people have to that win. And I think then to that movie. So even future casting, I would say that Rocky would be the more, would be the movie that's going to continue to have more of a impact as a sports movie.
All right.
Fair. That's very fair. It's a great point.
I feel like we all well argued this round. I do.
We did. That was a good discussion. And it ends in a 3-2 victory for Rocky.
Forget all you guys that didn't vote for my movie.
Rocky's going to advance to the Final Four. Who's it going to take on in our last Elite Eight matchup, Jeremy?
The very last matchup here. We have Rudy going up against Remember the Titans for football supremacy. Let the battle begin.
All right, John, let's start with you.
At this level, Rudy is overrated. It's Remember the Titans.
Wow. That,
you know what, Luke? Can I jump in? Because yeah. I am in the exact same boat. All right. This is like comparing these two movies, it is a clear Remember the Titans win for me.
Woo. All right. All right, Tim.
Rudy was offsides. And I have to go Remember the Titans.
Rudy was offside.
This wasn't even close.
Wow.
This is this is Remember the Titans just going undefeated. Aaron, you want to pile on poor Rudy here?
No, I was going to go Rudy. I love Remember the Titans, but I don't know. I get what you're saying. It's overrated, but at the same time, it was like the true underdog, like never quit. You can make your dreams come true story, even though it was obviously, you know, fabricated and hyperbolic. But at the same time, it was like, yeah, I was going to go Rudy. Blue, you?
No, honestly, I was going to go Remember the Titans.
Okay.
I was going to make it 4-1. Listen, I like Rudy. I think Rudy's really effective, and I think Sean Astin gives a really good performance in it. Mm-hmm. But I'm also going to say, look, I think it is a little overhyped in terms of,
The score is great.
And if I'm being wholly cynical, I could say it's okay. It's like an hour and 40 minute commercial for Notre Dame football because it's Rudy gushing about, I got to play football for Notre Dame, which in 2019,
perhaps this is inherent bias. I did grow up on the south side of Chicago.
Right. That's the thing.
So did I, like,
yeah. You're Catholic is showing, Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look, I mean, and not to say that it's a bad movie. It is a good movie. I voted for it, in earlier rounds, just when we get to this area where we're nitpicking. I get it. But yeah, I think Remember the Titans is a more effective football movie. It's got really good sequences of football in it. And Rudy only really has the one.
Yeah.
And they didn't even get that, you know, necessarily. As you
Rudy
mentioned,
he's offside.
So, you know. All right. So here we are, the Final Four. Jeremy, what do we got? Yeah,
look at this, people. Look at this. We have on one side the baseball champion, A League of Their Own, versus the basketball champion, Hoosiers. And on the other side, the boxing champion, Rocky, versus the football champion, Remember the Titans. I honestly don't think I can choose anymore.
Yeah. I mean, hey, good job. I think we got the four sports that you would want to have here. You'd want to have football, baseball, basketball, and boxing, because I think of sports movies, you probably think of one of those. But yeah, all right, let's get into it, man. Here's the first one. Oof. A League of Their Own versus Hoosiers. League of Their Own, by the way, having quite a run. Like, it's had the hardest march here, I would say, having to beat Major League in the first round. Well, first it had to beat The Natural, which is a lot of people's favorite baseball movie. Yeah. It beats The Natural. It beats Major League. It beats Bull Durham. And it beats Field of Dreams.
Ugh.
That is a monster.
That's a murderer's room.
Like,
yeah.
So Hoosiers, on the other hand, beats Hoop Dreams, Blue Chips, White Men Can't Jump, and then the Karate Kid. Who's advancing to the finals, League of Their Own or Hoosiers? Aaron, what say you?
I think I made my case in the last round. And so for me, this is an easier decision because I think now you're getting into almost to like, what sport yeah. generates more emotion for you and are you more attached to? And for me, it's a League of Their Own.
All right. Tim, how about you?
Oh man, that Murderer's Row of that movie. I mean, The Natural is probably would be one of my favorite movies if it not so inaccurate from the book. incredibly inaccurate from the book. But I mean, that was a murderer's row of what they League of Their Own ran through. So, and just in a simpleton way of putting it, if both movies are on at the same time, which one am I watching? I'm watching League of Their Own.
All right, John, how about you?
So on the last round, I said that Rudy was overrated. I think part of the reason why League of Their Own seems like it went through such a murderous row is I think it's underrated in large mm-hmm. part because it's just another Tom Hanks movie. If mm-hmm. you just look at the laundry list of all his unbelievable roles, but standing alone, it's a fantastic movie. Everything I said before holds still. The emotional attachment for, high school basketball versus baseball, I really don't have the attachment to basketball, Indiana high school basketball. I think A League of Their Own is a better movie. It just for the reasons that I've said before. So I'm going to say A League of Their Own.
All right, Jeremy, how about you?
League of Their Own is my vote as well. I'll since it's moving to the championship, which I absolutely love. I'll save my other comments for that, but that's my vote.
Yeah, and I'm going to clean sweep it. I honestly think, and this is, if you haven't guessed already by my voting, I find Hoosiers a little overrated, frankly. Yeah. I don't think it holds up well. I think it's a little slow, and I think it's weird that, for a sport that, has been known for its diversity and, that the pinnacle is a bunch of these, the whitest white bread, white dudes that ever whited,
Field of Dreams would be doing it in my opinion.
Right. So, I would agree. So look, I would much rather, I'd see any of those movies over Hoosiers advancing to the final. So I'm going to move League of Their Own to the championship round. It's going to go up against Rocky, the winner of the boxing, region versus, or Remember the Titans. I'm going to get it out of the way. Cause look, people know me. If you listen to this podcast long enough, I'm a Rocky homer. The only reason right now that I'm at this camera angle is to my left is my Rocky poster and championship belt. So look,
he's got integrity, folks. He's not trying to sway the vote.
I'm admitting my bias up front. The reason that I love Rocky is because I think Rocky is one of the single most enduring characters in movie history. He is the template for the underdog in every sports movie you have ever seen since. So for that very reason, I want it to go all the way. I want it to go to the finals. It's getting my vote. I like Remember the Titans. And I'll say this. Someday when I pass away, if any of you sing na 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 na, hey 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 goodbye at my funeral,
now we're definitely going to do that.
I will come.
Yeah, I wasn't going to before this, but
yeah.
The problem is, Lou, you put that out there now.
No, I would prefer my Rocky.
Request that with Donna. Donna's definitely. We're definitely going to.
No, I would prefer you take my Rocky championship belt and drape it over my casket, Rocky IV style.
Okay, but I'll do that, Lou, but only if I can play There's No Easy Way Out blaring over some speakers at the same time.
Is there any other way?
While they're putting dirt over the casket?
Yep. Yes. All right. Okay, so Rocky's getting my vote. Tim, how about you?
Lou, I love Rocky. I alluded to earlier that it's a Academy Award-winning film, but man... I gotta go. I have to go remember the Titans. just as far as the multitude of performances in Remember the Titans is more significant than the performances in Rocky. The performances in Remember the Titans are, in my opinion, better than the supporting cast in Rocky.
I brain and blood is about to shoot out from my ear.
Are we suggesting
the supporting cast of Rocky? Defend who is better in the supporting cast of Rocky besides
Burgess fucking Meredith. I'm sorry, NPR listeners.
I think it's worth it for that line. That's the title of the episode.
Okay, after those three, what else you got?
Carl Weathers as Apollo Creed? He's magnificent.
Yes.
Okay. Talia Shire as Adrian. Burt Young as Polly. That is... What are we doing here?
This is the podcast. This is what it's all about. This is what we get down to right here. This is it. This is what we're doing. We're throwing down right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will take Ned Yost over Polly every day, by the way. I'm just going to say that.
What about Sunshine? Come on.
I was on board with you, Lou, until you said Polly. The guy's not exactly a great actor.
But he is a great character.
I will give you that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, I love Donald Faison as much as the next guy.
Yeah.
What about young peak Ryan Gosling, man? Come on.
Like what? Like no. What? No. We're I know it's late, guys, but we're veering. We're getting it. Okay. All right. Okay. No. I'm sorry. We will agree to disagree, good sir.
All right, fine.
All right.
Very good.
All right. So that's one for Rocky, one for Remember the Titans. Jeremy, what say you?
Yeah, I would lean heavy Titans here, but damn it, Lou, why do you gotta bring logic into things? I'll say this though. I'm gonna vote for Rocky. I'm going to get out of the way, but I will say this. And because I studied music composition in college, the score, Trevor Rabin's score for Remember the Titans is one of the best musical scores for a movie I've ever heard. That Titan pride theme that plays, especially once they win, and he strings it in different versions throughout the movie. I just want to encourage everyone. If you're into film scores, that is literally one of the best. That being said, I'm going to vote for Rocky just because, and I think Aaron, you actually gave a great reason why in the last round. So,
Aaron, what say you?
I love Remember the Titans, but it's when you get down to, I think, this level, Remember the Titans, yes, is a great ensemble cast, all of the characters, you know, very, emotionally moving moments. But it's still a little too Disney sweet. And I think what I appreciate about Rocky is that Rocky's simplicity. Like, not only did the movie itself create the template for the underdog sports story, Sylvester Stallone himself going into, I think, knowing that about him trying to get Rocky made and, like, where he was, I think also you cannot deny fed into, like, you know, feeds into the underdog story and the Cinderella story of the whole thing. And now it's created this huge household, you know, household name and a franchise, and now they're going on with Creed and Rocky.
All right. So there we got. John, you got anything to say about Rocky versus Remember the Titans before we move on?
No, I mean, my vote was going to be Rocky, and I'll talk about it in the next round.
All right. And we are here.
No,
Jeremy.
I got to go now. I'm real busy, guys. I think my kids are up.
We'll take a moment. We'll take a breath because we have a matchup that's very interesting, I think. I think this is... this is where we separate, okay, us from the mediocre podcast. We're going to give you a take, even if it's the wrong one. This is the finals, A League of Their Own versus Rocky. Anybody? I'm just gonna open it up. Who wants to start? Who's ready?
I can start.
You think somebody wants to start?
All right, John.
I'll go
Lou. Okay.
Yeah. The next chance I get, I'm going to watch A League of Their Own again. For all the reasons that we've all talked about this entire time. Rocky, a movie out of Hollywood for a large segment of the population, defines the sport of boxing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a sport that's gone up and down in popularity to the point where, you know, at times it seems to have just fallen off the face of the earth. I don't know who the heavyweight champion is right now. I think there's at least three of them floating around somewhere. But I do know when the next Rocky franchise movie is coming out. I do know every single one of them. And it all started with Rocky. So the cultural impact that it had within a sports prism is unmatched, aside from all just the qualities of the movie itself and the backstory behind how it was made and how Sylvester Stallone, the man, was reflected in Rocky Balboa, the character.
All right. That is one vote for Rocky. Tim, how about you?
I think I've shown my ass a little bit in not thinking Rocky was going to advance to the finals. So I'm going to go with League of Their Own. And my defense is that, again, the ensemble cast being superior to the Rocky ensemble cast, it being more culturally significant, baseball being a more of an American sport than boxing, if you want to call it that. I couldn't describe it more perfect than what Aaron did earlier. I mean, like, as far as the impact that it had, I mean, I can't describe it better than what Aaron did. I mean, as far as the movie itself and the historical significance, and one of my favorite actors being Tom Hanks and his performance in that movie and the ensemble cast itself. And I'm going to go with League of Their Own.
All right. Well, obviously I was right there showing my ass with you there, Tim, because I already laid out my Rocky homerdom, so I'll get mine out of the way because people are not waiting with bated breath to hear my take on this. But I'll add this. I think every sports movie since Rocky copies Rocky in a way, whether it's the climactic finish or the training montage that most sports movies have. All of it was kind of perfected by Rocky. So I think as far as a representative of sports movies, that's a great one. And I think it's a Best Picture winner. It's on the AFI 100 list. It's up there for a reason, and it's got the lines everybody remembers. It's got moments and scenes and sequels that everybody can quote. League of Their Own is a wonderful film. Don't get me wrong. To me, if you asked 100 people on the streets, name a sports movie, Rocky's probably going to be one of the first things that comes out of people's mouth. So that's going to make it 2-1. Jeremy, what say you?
Insanely well argued, Lou. I have a hard time not choosing Rocky. Now let me tell you why I'm not going to choose Rocky.
Aaron's eyes just got so wide.
I'm not doing this anymore.
Everything, like, these are two incredible films. I mean, we're choosing between A+ and A++ here. I mean, but to me, it's just like, I keep looking back at the movies I voted A League of Their Own over, and I think it's not just because of matchups. I think that there's something there, and the film just gets better every single time I see it. Just little mannerisms, everything. I think Rocky works so well because it is simplistic. You're right. It's just, here's a guy, here's an underdog, and here's this incredible task he's going to try and do, and that's why we attach to it. But I just think, like, the moment we're in, especially in this country right now, too, I just think this is an important movie that continues to get brought up. So I'm voting A League of Their Own. So have fun, Aaron.
All right, Aaron. It is down to this. We are 2-2. We have gone the distance.
Oh, man. I did not know that this is the position I was going to be in and that I was going to make such a compelling argument about.
Aaron, the greatest sports movie of all time comes down to you.
Yeah. Wow. This literally is a split decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Whew. So, A League of Their Own is what we've all been saying. I'm impressed with my own points that I brought up. No, I'm just kidding. But when it comes down to what's the one that keeps going, they both do in different ways. Both movies, if they're on, you're going to watch them. Like, you know, there's a lot of the ways we were making our decisions that don't really cut it in this particular decision. However, While I guess I'm going to shoot myself in the ass now. Everyone's shown their ass. I'm going to shoot myself in the ass. Even though I've made the argument of what a great story A League of Their Own is and what a fantastic sports movie it is, I am going Rocky for the mere fact that Lou has the point of cultural impact. People go to Philadelphia every day and they climb those steps. Yeah. I did the same thing when I went there. Everyone knows that theme. Not everyone can sing, you know, "This Used to Be My Playground" by Madonna. No, I could. And while A League of Their Own is an incredible girl power movie without, I don't think at the time it was trying to be as girl power as things are. Like, it was effortlessly girl power.
Mm-hmm.
And still in 2019 can be. I think that cultural relevance has to go to Rocky. And so I vote Rocky.
Oh, man.
Wow. Man. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Cinderella story of A League of Their Own. Gina Davis drops the ball one last time. at the end.
So wait, does that mean it's like the butler of sports movies then?
Oh. So here we are. Rocky.
It's your last.
Yeah. So, no, good job. But there it is. The winner of the greatest sports movie of all time is Rocky. Look, it took us a while to get here, but I think we had some, that was a really good discussion. I think we picked a good winner. I think we picked a good final four, good finalists. Good job all the way around.
Just so it's official, everyone. There it is.
There it is. Yeah.
We're Rocky two of sports movie brackets now.
Hey. So, all right. Well, I want to thank you all for coming in. There it is. One last time. Rocky is your winner of the greatest sports movie of all time. This was a lot of fun, as they always are. I want to thank everybody for coming on and spending a few hours arguing about sports movies. I hope we can all shake hands and say good game after this. Move on.
Like hockey players.
Yep. So
that's right.
I brought juice boxes and apple slices for everyone. So
yeah. I know there'd be that.
But anyway, all right. But so before we all let you go, anybody got anything they want to plug or any social media handles? Where can people find you? Jeremy, what do you got going on?
Yeah, no, just a lot of this stuff with the Front Row Network. Of course, you can find us on frnpod.com or nprillinois.org. At jgeck, JGOECK, if you want to read any reviews.
All right, cool. Tim, you got anything?
I am not really on Facebook anymore, but only Instagram and Twitter, at TimothyJ44. I don't really have any significant intelligence or pop culture things to add to your life,
which makes you perfect for Twitter.
Random life, then please jump on. That'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron, how about you?
I can be found on Facebook at Aaron E. McCabe or Instagram at Aaron E. McCabe. No dots or periods or hashtags or whatever. And yeah, that's it for me.
All right, John, how about you?
Yeah, I really got nothing in terms of the social media world. But thanks for having me on. This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Good. No, thank you for coming on. Thank you for subbing at the last minute. I appreciate it. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at @TheFakeLouHare. You can read some of my stuff at frnpod.com. I've been recording a lot of podcasts lately, so I'm not sure what order everything's going to be dropping in, but we had a really great conversation about the year of night in movies for 1994. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. That goes with an article that I've got for frnpod.com about the year 1994. I did a classics episode on Blazing Saddles with Brandon Davis. Guilty Pleasures is just all over the place. We had Drop Dead Gorgeous, Wild Wild West, Mamma Mia 2, lots of different stuff coming out.
Oh, man.
Mamma Mia 2, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been busy. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff. stuff that I'm doing and that the rest of the network is doing. So make sure you are finding us wherever you get your podcasts. We just officially got everything up on Spotify now. So if your traditional, Apple podcasts aren't your thing, you can find us there now. And you can also, as Jeremy mentioned, find us on nprillinois.org. Thank you for people who are finding us through there. And hopefully, if you like this kind of podcast in this format, we've done some brackets in the past. You can go back and find them in our archives. All sorts of fun stuff coming up. So just make sure you're dialed in. Please like and subscribe us. Share the podcast. Get people out. And thank you for joining us on YouTube. Make some comments. Let us know what you think. How crazy are we in some of these? But I think that's about it. So we're all going to go to bed. It's been a late night. Thank you for joining us. And for the Front Row Network, I'm Lou Hare.
I'm Aaron McCabe.
I'm Jeremy Gechner.
I'm Tim Tierney.
I'm John Bowser.
And as always, we'll see you in the front row.